CBS News Brief. Senator Chris Van Hollen has returned to the U.S. from El Salvador, where he met with a man mistakenly deported there.
What this is about is adhering to the Constitution, to the right of due process. And that's why we say, bring Kilmer home so he can be afforded his rights under the Constitution.
A federal judge has blocked the administration from shuttering the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. CBS's Jake Rosen.
On Thursday, administration officials moved to fire roughly 1,500 people, leaving the department with just about 200 employees through a reduction in force that would downsize the bureau and effectually shutter it.
We learn more today about the suspect in yesterday's shooting at Florida State University.
At this point, there does not appear to be any connection at all between the shooter and any of the victims.
Two people were killed. Six others were hospitalized, including the suspect. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you live in or own a business in Stevens Point, the police department is asking that you be on alert for a scam that fraudulently claims to be from city departments. Fake invoices that seem to be coming from departments such as the Planning and Zoning Commission ask that you send payment by wire transfer. The invoices request payment for services such as inspections and application reviews. The city of Stevens Point will never ask for payment by wire transfer. All official city correspondence will come from an email that ends in @stevenspoint.com or other verified government domain. Also, an official phone number will always be included in any communication. The Stevens Point Police Department is calling this a more sophisticated scam that appears credible. If you receive any questionable correspondence claiming to be from the city, feel free to contact City Hall directly to verify the request. Report any suspicious invoices or communications directly to the police to help protect yourself and the community. Easter is this Sunday. If you're coloring and hiding Easter eggs, you may feel like you have to take out a loan. Joanne Krulatz has more on egg prices and Easter celebrations.
The internet has offered up a host of alternatives as egg prices continue to be stubbornly high. Influencers are dyeing everything from marshmallows to potatoes. There has been a lot of interest from price-conscious parents as U.S. egg prices increased again last month to reach a new record high of $6.23 per dozen. Relief could be coming. There is evidence that prices are falling and grocery stores may start offering discounts to get shoppers in the door. But even with that, egg prices are higher than ever. That has the idea of coloring potatoes or rocks, which first made the rounds after a 2023 price spike, making a resurgence.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers host the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Athletics. Tonight at AmFam Field, Freddy Peralta on the mound for the crew. NBA, the Bucks head to Indianapolis to play the Pacers. Tomorrow at noon for game one of their best of seven playoff series. Damian Lillard back at practice just a month after being diagnosed with a blood clot, but not active yet. Bobby Portis back from that 25-game suspension.
You know, I've been suspended for a little minute, so it's fun to just practice for real, and get up and down with the guys. So it's fun being in the mix with the guys and trending towards the playoffs, and it's fun to just be on the court with the guys. So it was a great day in the office.
Giannis asked about his advice to younger teammates who've never played in a postseason game.
My first playoff, I got ejected. My first playoff, I tackled somebody. See, it doesn't get worse than that. But yeah, just anybody that plays for the first time in the playoffs, just do not tackle somebody. You know, that would be my advice.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-50s for Saturday. Increasing clouds Sunday, showers developing, high temperatures in the mid-50s. Showers continue Sunday night and linger on into Monday morning. It's 60 right now.
Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Let's get into it. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hope you all are having a good one out there. Welcome to Playmakers. We speak sport. That is my
new slogan. Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
I don't know, should it be we speak sport or we speak sports? because it almost sounds like I'm saying we only speak one sport.
I know. Actually, I like the British, you know, because they call it sport. They don't call it sports. I think there's a little class to it, right?
It's not meant to sound like necessarily, you know, logical. It's sports. It's supposed to sound a little fun and everything. Fine. But we do speak sport around here. We love speaking sport with you. Call up. Hit us in the numbers. 715-424-2600. Want to talk to each and every one of you. Want to hear those sports takes and feelings. Mm-hmm. We, first off, want to thank our great friends, and I do mean friends, over at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods.
Indeed.
Been in this business a long time, and it's not every day that almost every sponsor we work with, I know the people. I literally know the first names and most of the staff.
Known for a while, actually.
Yeah. We're really proud of that. We love working with them and building each other up. Mm-hmm. Appreciate them sponsoring this show, and all of you helping make this show more and more popular. We really do appreciate that. It's been a lot of fun working with you guys over here for a while now. Just a really quick programming note. Starting next Wednesday, we'll be moving, because I don't know if you guys caught the ticker. I don't know if ESPN got this. Shams got it.
Big trade.
Big trade in the radio world. Big time trade. WIRI has traded for WFHR's Playmakers.
Yes.
This is huge.
Yes, it is. I just realized you're going to have to change that from WFHR's Playmakers, WIRI Playmakers. I'm going to be keeping a board for this, a pool, to see how many times we said WFHR when we move to the other station. I'm just going to see how many we get in like a month.
I got to check DraftKings or one of those sites and see what the over-under is on that one, because that's going to be like, you take the over, everybody, take the over.
Yes.
that's the closest I know to gambling, is what I just said right now.
Right, exactly.
Big trade, a lot of draft picks involve some players, player to be named later, some of those things. We'll get into the details another time, but for now, the important thing is we're not only moving our show over there, it's staying intact.
It is no changes.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we are going to have the sponsors we have, we have the listeners we do, and we feel we're going to be open to a whole new audience.
Right, exactly. Oh, well, I guess the time changes a little bit. It goes to 4:00.
Yes.
Instead of 5:00. That's the only other thing that we should mention, too.
And that was a strategic decision. Something that we thought a lot about, and honestly, this gives us a chance to be more of a tailgate to high school sports and events, and certainly our rafters. We stay out of the way of that, and being able to get some of the players on for Meet Your Rafters, those things.
Exactly.
Same thing with the River Kings, where their start times, the puck drops usually at 7. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll be able to not cut it too close with them sometimes.
Right.
And as I say, River Kings, that's where you hear River Kings home games.
That's right.
And, that's where a lot of our sports have gone.
Almost all of our high school sports. That's the WIRI is the home of high school sports in central Wisconsin, everyone.
Yes.
So it made a lot of sense. It really did. And of course, with the programming changes here, it's like, it'll fit right in. It'll slide right into there. So
we only ask that you guys hang out with us over at 105.5 starting next Wednesday. We're looking forward to the jolt that this can be for our audience and for this show. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we are they're moving us the day before the draft too. That's just insane to me. They don't know what they did to me.
So it'll be our draft preview show, I guess, is what it's going to be.
That's what it will be. Our first show over there will be a draft preview show, and we will talk a little draft. And we want to talk about what anything you want to talk about. Remember, you guys direct the show. You produce the show. If you want to talk about something, call up and join us, and we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. Get into baseball talk a little bit. I've got our story of the show and our stat of the show, both involving baseball.
Excellent.
Get into those in a little bit later. But right now, I want to wish a solemn thank you and appreciation to Lee Corso.
Oh.
For those that didn't hear, Lee Corso is going to be signing off of College Game Day. His last show will be in August. He's going to do one more show. So he's not going to be making a run of this, not the whole year.
No.
Or the whole season, I should say. He's got one more. It does sound like they're going to do ways of honoring him throughout the season.
That's good.
And I will bet you my last bottom dollar that the last College Game Day of next season, he'll be there, or they'll do something to represent him or something.
Right. It's nice that he gets to say goodbye by coming back to the first one of the season. That's nice. That's really cool.
I appreciate the way you said that. You really teed me up, man. He's ending a career that he began back in 1987. Four decades he's been doing this. And I don't think those of us that have been fortunate to be around this whole time, I don't know about anybody else. I had no idea.
It's been that long.
No idea. It's been that long. I just got used to him. I took him for granted. And even when he had a stroke a couple of years back, and it wasn't certain he was going to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. So the fact that what you said right there, Seth, that he gets to choose, he gets to walk off on his own feet.
Yep.
All of that. We should all be thankful for that, and we should all thank for as great of an ending. You know,
exactly. And not a lot of people get to choose that for their career, and that's kind of nice that he gets to.
It's pretty cool, and it's. I understand that it can be sad when we see these things or something, but I don't know with the being so still so close to the loss of Uecker and him not necessarily getting to do that.
Right.
I kind of feel good for Lee Corso.
Yes, I do too.
You know, and I really enjoyed him. His set on College Game Day, and I have to say, I don't know how many times I'll ever say this in my life, but to Disney, to ESPN. A big tip of the hat. The way they handled Dick Vitale, the way they handled Bill Walton, the way they've handled Lee Corso. Like, that business is so cutthroat, and there may not be anybody more cutthroat than Disney.
Right.
And the way that they handle things.
Right.
I mean, all you got to do is Google ESPN cuts, and you'll have a hard time like figuring out, well, which cuts? Like
Right, yeah.
The ones they did last Christmas or the Christmas before that? Or, you know, I mean, they are really.
Yeah.
So to see them do this is very impressive to me.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, that it shows that, hey, business can be run this way.
I love and he's one of those guys that could hang with the younger guys. I love that. The older, you know, ones that can do that. He reminds me of, like, you know, your Ernie Johnson or your, well, Lee Corso. He was one of those guys that could, I mean, hang with them. He was right there with the younger guys, you know,
and
berating them or whatever, you know. He was just fun to listen to.
He will be missed. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and take a call. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Well, good morning, fellas.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, how are you guys doing? I was trying to call in on Wednesday, but I missed the cut. But you had Russ on from Burning Ace, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they got me wondering. I'm like, that sounds really familiar, and I'm thinking Spinning Ace.
Oh,
Spinning Ace is actually a pitch. I knew I remember that, and it's Spinning Ace is a pitching reference. It's slang. And it's when you release the pitch at an 8 o'clock release. So that is a curveball or the beginning of a splitter, okay?
Ooh.
And so I did a little more research, and who is the first person to throw a curveball?
Oh, well,
this is where we go into the story of the week.
Oh, okay. All right.
I know who it's attributed to.
Yeah, the first person to be credited was William Candy Cummings.
Candy Cummings, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and in the 1860s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he was the originator.
He's in the Hall of Fame because of it, by the way.
Wow.
Because he played in the majors. He pitched for a while. He didn't have a great record, but, I mean, he supposedly invented the curveball, so he kind of got put him in there, right?
Well, sure.
That's where I was trying to bring up the conversation, because I wanted to bring it from Burning Ace to Spinning Ace, and therefore giving you a curveball.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging curve.
And incredibly well done. No, that was well done, man.
I do want to bring out a couple things, and I don't want to wait until August 8th, because I don't know if I'm going to live that long, but on August 8th, 1976, the Chicago White Sox, your Chicago White Sox, James, were the last team to wear shorts during a Major League Baseball game.
Oh, that game. Oh, those poor players. I still feel bad for them.
It was the first half of a doubleheader, I think.
Jeez.
Well, it was so bad, they changed. They didn't wear them for the second half. I mean, that tells you everything.
It was so bad that baseball didn't have to make a rule to never do it again. Everybody just understood, hey, we're just, you know, we're not going to do this again.
Yeah, no.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
Let's bring back Phil Disco Night, too. Right.
Exactly, yeah. Nobody has worse promotions than the Chicago White Sox. I will die on that hill.
Right. But no, one thing, and you always say die on that hill, and one thing, I don't know what kind of grinds your gears, but whatever happened to nicknames in baseball?
I'm telling you, good nicknames.
Thank you. Yes.
We need to bring back good names like Hammer and Hank or, you know, Jolt and Joe. You know, where are the nicknames in baseball? I encourage nicknames in baseball. And that's how it was back in my day.
Nicely done. Nicely done, sir. Great call.
Yes.
Great call. Good to talk to you, man.
Michael
take
Jordan
care.
Michael Jordan is still the GOAT.
Still
argue
the goat.
With me. I will die on that hill.
All right. Have a great Easter, bud. Good to talk to you. Appreciate you. Best listeners of radio.
Oh, man.
Man, that was a great... I felt bad. I got in his way there for a second. I should have just let him have the
lane.
You
know, I've never heard that. I've never heard that phrase. Spin an eight.
I've never heard that phrase before. Well, I just assumed you had.
No, that's a base. I didn't know. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I learned something new today. How about that?
Interesting. I've got a couple of topics that I want to get into throughout the baseball season, and I encourage everybody to bring them up from time to time or whenever they want. We'll probably get into them more after the draft, to be honest, but I want to get into the weirdest windups you've seen, the strangest windups from pitchers, and I've got one for us next week about the great, maybe we'll get into it later today. Who knows if we have time? Each team's best promotion item giveaway that they have.
I love those.
The last, I think it was the last Brewer game I went to. The last Brewer game I went to, it was Grateful Dead night. And Chris and I went with his son Cole and got this Grateful Dead Brewer shirt that I still wear to this day. It's one of the most comfortable shirts I have. It's the only time I've ever gotten something promotional from a game.
Really?
The only time.
Wow.
And I mean, like, any game, like local.
That's almost impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
Considering all the giveaway now.
And when I think about it, I've probably only been to like 10 to 15 live sporting events. I haven't been to that many. Not counting like hockey games I saw my father's.
You were going to be there anywhere, right?
Right. And I was a kid. I barely, all I remember is my mom buying me one of those candy necklaces that I could wear and chew on as my father was getting in fights and scoring goals.
Great, yeah. Calmed you down.
Yeah, yeah. Want to talk a little NFL draft. I thought the Corso, Lee Corso thing would be a good segue into that. Oh, we got to take another call.
All right.
That's good afternoon. You're in the game.
Yeah, that's me. I'm back.
Hey.
It's funny because you said the word candy, and that was another one of my diatribes. I looked up the major leaguers that had the number zero as a jersey number. Mm. And Candy Maldonado actually had it for the Brewers.
Oh, great.
Loved candy.
Great name.
He was great.
And I'll leave you with this. This is going to be a blast from the past. Another Brewer that wore the number zero, Franklin Stubbs.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Former Dodger. Yeah. Franklin Stubbs. Wow, yep.
Great one. That's something. So one of the things we really encourage strongly on this show, and I don't care if it's October and we're in the diehardness of the NFL season. Mm-hmm. If you want to call up and mention a 80s or 90s baseball player and that's it, you just like reference their name and Cam Caminiti and then you hang up. That's fine.
Here's a double zero number, uniform number. Jeffrey Leonard.
Ooh,
speaking of 80s baseball players.
That's good. That's good.
Did he play for the Brewers, I think? I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He might have. Well, we shift gears to the NFL draft, which is about a week away, not that far from now. Mm-hmm. And something we're very excited. I know I'm excited about. I don't want to speak for you if you even have any interest in it, really.
A little bit. Not nearly as much as a lot of people do. But, no, I'm going to pay attention.
I know that a lot of people. Oh, we got a text in, Seth. I want the 37 up. 37. Seven times as far as in your pool. How many times I will say WFHRWI? That's a good one.
Actually have to start this.
That's
now.
Pretty
I don't
fair.
Know.
That's pretty fair. Actually, you know what? It actually might be a little bit low.
Might be a little low.
With the NFL draft, there's a couple of things I wanted to note. One of them is: does anybody care, or is anybody been badgered, or are they tired of it? Because you mentioned the talk and that how you can't get away from it and everything.
Right now, no.
Well, especially here in Wisconsin, where it's being hosted.
It's a period. It's happening.
And I've never been in the state that's actually hosting the draft or a Super Bowl for that matter. So I almost feel like we're under talking about it. It's because of the moneymaker it is. And because of the, like, think about if this certain band is playing in this state, like Taylor Swift is playing right here in central Wisconsin somewhere.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, whether you care about her or not, you're selling Taylor Swift shirts. You're using her on your shows as content.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, you're going to take advantage
of that. You're selling Taylor Swift gas. I mean,
this is it's the economy boom that it is.
Right.
Well, this is what the NFL has decided to do. They just gave you the golden goose in your state, a state that is in dire need of dollars, by the way, with the way we've been hit by no snow up north or half of the other things I could mention that's going on. So I don't know. I don't know if we're talking about it enough, to be honest with you. And it doesn't matter whether or not you're interested in it or not.
No.
I mean, just talking about it in its sense is something that I think is, interesting. And I'm going to be interested in who's going to show up, in part because, there's always the waiting and seeing where these guys go.
Right.
Now, it has been announced that Jackson Dart and Alabama's Jason Milroe will be attending along with Cam Ward. Shardou Sanders has decided he won't be attending.
Oh, that's
Travis
interesting.
Hunter. Yeah, I'm not too surprised.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit.
His draft capital, I can't believe I just said that, has been falling.
Yeah.
So, and that's probably why, but yeah.
And being honest, I think if it was in New York or something, I wonder how many guys would be showing up as well.
That's a good point.
Now, Travis Hunter going to be there, and that's more interesting to me than, and nothing against Shardou Sanders. I just find Travis Hunter not only a more interesting person, but a much, much more interesting athlete.
Right.
He's going to be there, Matthew Golden, Arizona's Tetora McMillan, somebody that is. A lot of things would have to fall into place, but I've seen Mina Kimes and a couple of people say that that's the guy that would be the perfect fit for the Green Bay Packers. And he's probably the number one receiver on the board, so I don't know that he'll be there. But along with Abdul Carter, Ashton Jenty, Will Campbell, Mason Graham, all going to be there.
Right.
So interesting list. We'll see. I find it very interesting.
Well, real quick, for people who may not know, there are certain players that actually get invited by the NFL. Because the chances are they're going to be in the top 10 pick or whatever like that. So it's not just that they decided to go on their own, although some players do decide their own. But a lot of times they're invited by the NFL just to, because they like the press. They're there. They get to hold up the jersey and all that stuff. So
to that point, thank you for not even knowing you were setting me up.
Wow, I did it again.
It turns out that was a previous article. Jackson Dart will not be attending the NFL draft,
okay.
Which I think is incredibly smart by him because I've seen boards that have him go into New Orleans, and I've seen boards having him go in the second round. Don't put yourself through that. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're there and then you don't, that's kind of embarrassing. But anyway.
Yeah. Now, for me personally, I would not find that embarrassing.
Hmm.
I would find every one of these guys got here because of motivation, and not always rational motivation.
Right.
I would just be Aaron Rodgering that, and that's the only thing I will ever say that about. The only thing I would ever say that about.
We turned him into a verb now. That's kind of funny.
That is literally the only time you will ever hear me say that about anything in life.
Mark your calendars, ladies and gentlemen.
You're on the show. You're in the show. You're on the show, however you want to type it.
Hello?
Hey, just a reminder, baseball this Sunday is going to be on Roku for free.
That's nice.
That is interesting.
Get people to sign up, yeah.
Oh, yeah, pretty cool.
Just a reminder of that.
Right.
Oh, you were talking about jersey numbers. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'll let you go.
Okay.
That's all right.
Hey, appreciate the call, Matt.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And that's interesting. I didn't know that about Unroku.
There you go.
Unfortunately, it looks like the Raiders GM, John Spajek, is talking about how much he believes in running backs in the draft and how heavily he thinks that how important they are, especially after last season, which is bad news for me as somebody who was hoping that Ashton Jenty might be able
fall to
go to
the Bears.
Chicago.
Yeah.
That's not a dream that I believe is actually going to happen.
No.
For one, because I've stopped believing in dreams. No, I'm joking.
Bears, look what they've done to you.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
What I think is interesting about this is the smoke game that goes on with this.
Oh, God.
And how you really can't, you want so badly for real information and some kind of notes, just as a sliver of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you can trust nothing you hear. Even when it's Adam Schefter and some of these guys, the information, say that Schefter, like this John Spajek, didn't come out and say this.
Right.
And Schefter reported, hey, the Raiders GM the Raiders are interested in running backs. Even that you can't buy because they could be lying to Sheffy. So this is all a smokescreen, all of this.
And
it's interesting to me what will, a week from now, what will be true and what won't be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the content that gets made off of this. You just touched on it. hours and hours. And you look back a month later, and none of it was true. None of it mattered.
None of it mattered.
It was just killing time.
It was just hype machine. Yeah. You know, keep the interest up and that sort of thing. Yeah, absolutely.
I really feel like ESPN probably would be better off going back to when they couldn't fill like 24/7, and they just played classic games and stuff. Like, instead of having like 24/7 just people barking back and forth, just go back and play classic games.
Kickboxing from the Philippines.
Yes, yes, yes.
That is what ESPN used to fill out their 24-hour schedule with. They would find in crazy sports from all over the world, man. And that was back in the day. I know. I do too, sort of.
I really am hoping for... With the NFL draft, I really am hoping for something not only exciting to happen for our local teams, and by that I mean the NFC North.
Right.
But I am really excited for it to just kind of get here already. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at.
Well, and part of it is like, yeah, it's the hype, you know, that gets kind of tiring. You get fatigue from all of that. It's like, okay, then finally it'll be done. And then we'll know where everyone is, and now we can analyze the tar out of that.
Yes.
You know, well, what's this going to do? What's this going to do? And it's going to mean... about as much, you know,
because none of this matters until 4 years from now, really. Because even a good season doesn't mean anything, you know.
No, and sadly, this was something I heard. I was listening to something, and there's like in football now, there's no small wins.
Yeah,
everything is you got to win the championship. Well, but that's only going to happen once in, you know, a blue moon for most teams. I mean, yeah, you got the Chiefs or what happened with, you know, the Patriots all those years. But those are more fluke than not, if you ask me.
And I think I do a pretty fair job here on the airwaves. And please, I know how many of you out there are listening. So if you are a Packer fan and you disagree, please call up and let me know. Mm-hmm. But there's a problem with setting the bar too high.
Yeah.
You call yourself Title Town and that titles are all that matter. And in the last couple of seasons, I've been hearing, hey, we got something here. Hey, this might be good enough, or this draft is good enough, or this player is good enough, or something. And hey, you know, they may not be bringing in all stars and all pros and everything, but they're just good enough. Well, that's not Title Town to me. Title Town is a championship or nothing. That's Title Town.
That's like the Yankees.
Yes,
every year they expect to win every year.
Yeah, there are no small wins for the Yankees.
No.
And to me, if you're going to call yourself Title Town, you're going to hang your hat on that. You got it. It's championship or nothing. None of this. Well, we believe that in the next couple of years or this might be. No, every season you got to be gunning for it. Otherwise, that's the game we're playing here.
Right, exactly.
I got our story of the show and our stat of the show to get to before we cut to break. And this one, they're both baseball related. Texas Rangers left-hander Patrick Corbin earned his first win of the season Wednesday night, but it was a start he nearly wasn't able to make. Now, real quick note, how many of you knew Patrick Corbin was still in MLB? Raise your hand. Come on.
I did know that. Honest. I did. I'm weird that way. Yeah, so. Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
I didn't know he was with Texas till the very beginning of the season, though. I wasn't sure where he was.
Corbin and the Rangers believe the culprit was a venom from an apparent bite on his foot 2 days before his start that made it difficult to walk.
Oh, no.
Quote, they said something bit me, but I still don't know what it was. Corbin, I've never had anything like that happen before. It was super weird.
Hours
before Corbin allowed one run in 5.5 innings and a 3-1 win over the Angels, Rangers manager Bruce Bochy said it was 50-50 whether he would pitch or not because his ankle was that swollen.
Mystery bite. Oh, wow.
They're saying that it probably was a snake or something, but it somehow, like, it wasn't like he was hiking in the Himalayas or something like that. Like, it happened at the ballpark.
Which is kind of frightening, actually. What are you doing down there, Texas?
Yeah.
They got a new ballpark. Not supposed to allow snakes in there. Come on.
That's crazy.
Jeez. There are some pretty venomous snakes in Texas, so that snuck in.
I was warned about that.
Yeah.
I was warned about that. And so that is our story of the show. But
wow.
I think it's interesting. I don't know if it's as interesting as our stat of the show.
Okay.
And I want to thank Dan Patrick for this. I happened to go down a rabbit hole of listening to pitchers talking about hitters and some of that last night, and I came across an old interview 5-6 years ago or something like that, Dan Patrick and Greg Maddux. And I went to listen to it because it was Maddux talking about, all it said in the headline was Maddux talks about the best, most pure hitter he's ever seen or whatever.
Okay, right.
And I figure it's about Tony Gwynn and, you know, my best friend loved Tony Gwynn, so I figure I can send it to him, whatever. But I'm listening to it, and Dan Patrick, He does something that I try to do in interviews that I basically, I don't want to say I stole from him, but I was inspired by him.
There you
if
go.
You want to say stolen, then that's fine.
That's fine.
I will throw myself on the court of Dan Patrick and beg for forgiveness from all of his producers.
Because first they'll say, who are you again? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. He starts it off with talking to Greg Maddux, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, World Series, Hall of Fame,
yep.
All of this about his base running. And so my stat of the show, did you know Greg Maddux was 11 of 14 on career stolen bases?
That totally makes sense.
He had a 78% clip that he ran,
wow.
Including going 7-for-7 in the 2000 season.
Wow, really? In one season?
Yeah.
Now, something that we have to point out, Greg Maddux was not fast. He was not a fast runner.
That's what Dan Patrick brought up.
He wasn't, but he was an extremely intelligent person, which is one of the reasons he was such a good pitcher. But he understood people aren't going to hold the pitcher on, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And he would just find a spot and he'd sneak over to second. You know, basically that's what it is.
Patrick starts off after the stat, I don't mean to insult you, but I never thought of you as fast. And Greg Maddux says, well, you don't have to be fast to steal bases.
That's right. You don't.
It was such a good line.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the best line of the interview.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I talked to my dad about this, and even my dad was a little blown away by it. And leave it to a pitcher to tell you the greatest way to describe a pure hitter.
Okay.
So he's talking about this, and he's mentioning pure hitters. Now, you and I, Seth, our whole lives have heard baseball romanticize about pure hitters.
Right.
And to me, I've heard this term, but I just think it's verbs and, you know, all that. It is what it is. I've never thought about what an actual pure hitter was. That mm-hmm. specific determination.
Right.
A pure hitter rarely swings and misses. I never thought of it that way before.
Right.
And this was late last night at 1 a.m, and I'm still just saying that out loud, mm-hmm. blown away by that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the idea that you're only swinging when you know you're hitting that ball.
Right.
Not swinging for the fences every single time. Not, 100 strikeouts before you even get to the 100th game of the season, mm-hmm. or any of this that we're so accustomed to nowadays. The idea that my bat doesn't leave my shoulder unless I know I can hit it.
Right.
That is the definition of a pure hitter.
Oh.
That is such a good line.
That is a terrific line. And I have to throw on something that Ted Williams was believed. It wasn't something he said, but or it's something he referred to when he said sometimes just making contact wasn't enough. Sometimes the victory had to go to the pitcher. Meaning, like exactly what you said, meaning he would not swing at a pitcher's pitch no matter what, even if it was a strike. He wouldn't swing at it, so he would strike out without offering at it. And that was the way he was. And that was fine. He said, yeah, you got me. Fine. Well, I'll get you next time kind of thing.
Right,
but he's one of, if you look at the guys that have the least amount of strikeouts and still, you know, Ted Williams was one of those guys. Tony Gwynn was one of the guys. Wade Boggs was one of those guys. Mm-hmm. You never wasted a swing.
Right.
Never wasted a swing.
I wonder if more batters did that, if it would lower injuries. Not to say there's necessarily a straight correlation, but I mean, you're swinging for the fences.
Yeah, swinging out of your shoes, right? Yeah.
I don't mean to pick on him, but you're Giancarlo Stanton,
you know,
and your whole career. You've been playing almost 10 years,
yeah.
and your whole career, or maybe even more than that.
It's more than that now, but
yeah,
yes.
It has been. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
For a while.
He has been. Going back to his Marlin days of just swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
And people talk about his swing as being one of the most powerful, violent swings in all this.
I think he has one of the records for the most exit velocity for hardest
yes,
hit
yeah.
ball, basically.
He's
on the top five or something like that.
Imagine him with patience.
Oh my gosh.
I gotta imagine it. Maybe he's playing more.
Mm-hmm.
He's also known for getting hurt a lot throughout
right.
his career. I don't know that there's a straight up correlation,
right.
but I gotta think they have a little to do with
well,
each
and
other.
Well, and there's a reason there's only so few of those guys out there, those pure
yeah.
hitters, because it takes so much to not swing at those pitches. It takes so much to be disciplined enough to know exactly what you need to do and basically guide the ball, you know, where you want to do it, you know, whatever that kind of thing is. So, I mean, yeah.
It makes you wonder if there are, you said the discipline hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many of those exist anymore or are going to.
Well, because the whole thing has changed. The whole philosophy of hitting now. Since home runs are so important,
yeah.
you're going to give up those. You're going to take chances.
Yeah.
You're going to swing at bad balls, but you may swing at a pitch that you hit 400 feet. So, you know, that's the trade-off.
We got to go to break because I'm losing my voice. but we will come back, and I'll drink some water. We'll come back. Be hydrated. We'll be all right. We'll have some more fun with Playmakers. Thanks to our friends at Quality Post Printing and Family Natural Foods and all of you.
Summer is around the corner, meaning it's time for water park season. While the thrilling water slides call out to your kids, you know that long lines, rental lockers, and large crowds can turn fun into a hassle. This summer, take action and do something different. Contact Wham Incorporated to create eye-catching attire that ensures you never lose your group. Clearly label your towels and beach bags for seamless packing and travel. Wham Incorporated is committed to making this summer enjoyable for every family. Call 715-423-7740.
Consider the folks at Family Natural Foods for everything you need for planting season. Their knowledgeable team has been helping people select just the right seeds since 1946. Choose from an extensive variety of healthy-for-you heirloom seeds, onion sets, and seed potatoes. Growing your own food is one of the best steps you can take to empower your health and save some money. Family Natural Foods offers seeds starting at 99 cents a pack. Family Natural Foods, Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids, putting the farm back into pharmacy.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
In Wisconsin, mint brownies are the big one.
By the way, why do we associate green with mint? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because mint isn't necessarily...
A mint plant is green.
Well, a lot of plants are green. In fact, most plants are green. Chlorophyll, that whole thing, you know?
There's no way.
I realize chlorophyll, is that funny? Wow.
Just the way you said it.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-50s for Saturday. Increasing clouds Sunday, showers developing, high temperatures in the mid-50s. Showers continue Sunday night and linger on into Monday morning. It's 60 right now.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here on WFHR. Locally Grown Radio. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Big thank you to Quality Post Printing and Family Natural Foods, sponsoring the show. The calls we've had today, we want more of them. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600.
Before we stop talking about Greg Maddux, there is one video that I love, a perfect example of his base running. He doesn't steal a base, but he's coming around third. He's waved in by his third base coach, and that's how I know he's not fast. It's because I'm watching him run. I'm like, whoa, Greg Maddux, not a fast runner.
Yeah.
The ball gets to the catcher. And it's low, so he's going to do the swipe take because he thinks he's sliding. Greg Maddux jumps over his glove, passes home plate. He didn't touch it. He passes home plate. The catcher turns around. He sees he didn't touch it. Greg, and there's a face-off, basically. They're looking at each other. Greg Maddux does a head fake, totally messes up the catcher, goes around him, and tags home plate. Oh. He is safe.
I gotta look that up,
and I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. Yeah. It's an amazing. Because one of the announcers is like, "Man, he should have been a halfback. Did you see that move? Right. You know."
It's funny too how some athletes, like I think this a lot about Tom Brady, especially late in his career. Tom Brady or even Patrick Mahomes, they look like toddlers running. They really do. They look like a toddler that just learned to run. But somehow these are some of the best athletes we've seen.
It's whatever it is. They just got it.
Just a really quick note before we get into NBA playoffs or anything like that. I did want to note that Greg Popovich is home from the hospital after an incident he just recently had. It was just good to see, and I thought I'd put that out there. I don't mean this as any slight or anything like that. I hope it doesn't come across that way. I hope the next time I see Greg Popovich news, it's that he's retiring.
Yeah.
He deserves it. He's earned it. Yeah. Like few coaches have. You can make an argument. Greg Popovich will be on the NBA Mount Rushmore of coaches. If you wanted to put him in the running or honorable mention, I don't think anybody's going to really fight you on it.
He's good.
He's earned it. He's
totally earned it.
I imagine.
But I think you're right. I think he's just getting too old. He's getting a little infirm too. I think he needs to call it quits. Sadly, I know what the reason he stayed basically was to because he got one of these great once in a generation players, and I understand why you'd want to stick around for that. But now we don't know uncertain future for him as well.
Yeah.
Considering the health scares going on there, but. Man, Greg, come on, man. Take it easy, man.
Yeah.
Just retire.
We just got done saying, how cool it is for Lee Corso to kind of be able to choose his ending. I know it isn't the ending he wants, but we rarely get that.
Yeah.
Be with your family.
His legacy is secured. Greg, Greg, you don't need to, you have nothing to prove to anybody.
Look, if coaching was like, laid back and calm, I'd be saying something totally different and everything. No.
It's not. No, it's intense.
It's one of the most stressful jobs in the world. Let alone at that level. You can make an argument at high school level it is, level.
That is the only of the four major sports, that is the only coach that is almost is as closely involved in the game as any of the other ones, okay?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Because they're right there. They're sitting with the players. And I know the other ones are sitting with the players, but because everything is so close and they, scream and yell and, get going and stuff like that. Yeah, it's got to be take a toll on the body.
A couple of notes on the playoffs. I wish Jerry Reinsdorf would sell the Bulls and the White Sox.
Please.
If you listen to anything, please listen to that. Please. Sure. And while you're at it, get the McCaskies to sell the Bears. I'll move on. Miami and Atlanta playing tonight. Dallas and Memphis playing tonight. None of these teams that anybody really thinks can win at all. But certainly it could be exciting games for, not only those fan bases.
It could be fun. Yeah. It's like wild card games. It could be fun.
Playoff, like every sport. Playoffs are no different. It's never more severe to me than in hockey. Like playoff football is football. It's up a degree, and there's a couple of things different, but you're not getting that different of football. Everybody, it's not like anybody week two or week three isn't trying their hardest or anything like that.
Right.
Things are just usually moving on all cylinders, but then you also have injuries and everybody's playing hurt. So the game is almost slowed down to a degree that level.
Right.
In basketball, they're almost, it's not that the regular season doesn't matter or anything, but there's a different gear that gets brought out of you in the playoffs. I think that anybody who has ever performed can relate to this. You give your all if you're a true performer, you're giving your all no matter who is in the audience, no matter if there's one or a million in the audience.
Right.
But if there's family in the audience, if there's a friend in the audience or somebody you care about, just knocks it up a gear.
It does. It really does. Yeah.
It's human nature. Yeah. It can't be helped. I've tried to harness it and I can't. it's just how it works. It's similar in basketball with the playoffs where there's just something different that comes out of you. The Houston and Golden State facing off right now, young versus old, the old guard and the new and all this. And Houston's a great team. I would not be surprised if Houston beats Golden State.
Right.
But I would be betting on Golden State because of experience and because it's just a different game when you get there. Look at Oklahoma City last year.
Right.
It's a little similar to that. And what we've been seeing out of OKC and what we've been seeing out of the Bulls, who were on a 15-game winning streak, and Josh Giddey was averaging almost 35 points a game the last 10 games. And they get into not even the true playoffs, a play-in.
Right.
It's barely a playoff atmosphere. And they just... Choke. So it tells you, basketball really, the dust settles. And you find out, okay, who are the men? Who are the guys that are going to go out there and take that crown?
Right.
That want the Larry O'Brien. They don't want the Larry O'Brien trophy. They need it. They're going to steal it.
It's a good way of saying it.
That is one of the things I love about basketball, is the different versions you get of it. Baseball is wild to me, the way that the difference is in seasons. It's hockey's the most evident because in hockey you can have guys that are out there giving their all and everything, and then the first game of the first round of the playoffs, somebody is going to dive against a puck and throw their face in face of a puck. They won't do that in the regular season.
No.
But in the playoffs, absolutely, every single player on every single team will do that, and they will play the rest of the game too.
Right.
That's the difference of regular season hockey and playoff hockey.
You are totally right about baseball is the complete opposite.
Yes.
You have to try to avoid the adrenaline. You have to try to get back to where you were in the regular season. And that's really hard in the playoffs because as much as players say, you know, we're just, you know, it's just another game kind of thing. It's like, no, no, it's still the playoff. So the atmosphere is the same in all the sports, but how you respond to it is the big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can, and like basketball is a great example of using that intensity to your advantage, you know, really pumping it up and getting, you know, and do that. We've seen guys do this, man, like take over a game and all this stuff. Baseball, no. You have to harness. You have to pull back. You have to do everything you can to try to get to be on an even keel again.
It's so weird, but it's also one of the things that we love about each one of these sports individually.
That's what makes it fun. Yeah.
Is it makes these playoffs so interesting. And it's going to be a very interesting run for the finals, I think. We'll see where it goes. Looking forward to it. Going to be paying attention. Wanted to touch on a little bit of baseball and was talking about the weirdest deliveries. So that is still out there.
Oh, everybody. Yeah.
Ooh. But kind of wrapping up, but we can still talk about it, of course. But wrapping up sort of our superstition, our most superstitious athletes.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
There were a couple I didn't mention, and while these are honorable mentions, I think that you could make the argument they are the most superstitious in their sport, or maybe of all time. Perhaps the greatest goaltender of all time, Patrick Roy.
What? Very good.
Was a firm believer in the power of superstition. Before every game, the former Canadian would skate backwards towards the net before turning around at the last second, an act he believed made the goal shrink. I mean, who's us to argue? Who are we to argue, man? Look at his career.
Well, physics. But other than that,
other than reality,
maybe in his mind, I get that. You know, here's the thing: is it a superstition or is it like a ritual? Maybe it's just something that helps you get in the right mind space. I would buy that before. No. The goal actually shrinks.
I love that.
He actually shrinks.
I love that. During the game, he would converse with the posts, thanking them. He would thank them when a puck was deflected and often touching them. This almost spiritual relationship with his goal earned him the nickname St. Patrick.
St. Patrick? Well, they were being nice. They were really being
Insane Patrick might have also worked. It also,
I like that one.
Also helped him get him three Conn Smythe trophies.
Yeah, and considered, like you said, could be considered one of the greatest, maybe the greatest of all time. Yep.
On the other side of it, nothing against him, but there's Turk Wendell.
Oh, good. Oh, boy.
Who I can't believe, I take this as a failure on running a sports show and as a journalist that I did a horrible job not mentioning Turk Wendell, who quite bluntly may be the most, especially when it comes to relievers.
Turk Wendell
was a maniac.
Yes, he was.
A short list of the right-hander's many eccentrics include always leaping over the baselines when walking to the mound.
Yeah, that's not uncommon, yeah.
Chewing black licorice while pitching and brushing his teeth between innings.
Yes.
The Massachusetts native would also wear a necklace decorated with the sharp teeth of wild animals he had hunted and killed.
Mm-hmm.
Wendell's quirks extended off the field, too. In 2000, the reliever asked the New York Mets, Mets make his contract all nines in honor of his uniform number 99. Like, he took less money to do this.
Just so he could make it that way. Yes. No, he was. But I mean, he ended up, I think, he went on David Letterman's show just to talk his superstitions.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Well, I mean, it's partially because he played for New York.
Yeah,
I mean, that
was
part of it. But it was the 2000 playoffs when people really were like, what is this guy? What is he doing?
Yeah.
Why is he wearing a necklace of teeth? You know? So, but he was fun to talk. I mean, he was still a fun interview and everything. He was a great guy to go with. But man. Man alive. Those were superstitions. That wasn't rituals. Those were superstitions.
Mitch Williams was another one that I wanted to mention because he's one of the first ones I think of, actually.
Also 99, by the way.
Right.
He also had the number 99.
Oh, my. Yep. Mind blown. That's awesome. another one. I remember him because I remember him being one of the first athletes I saw jumping over the baseline.
Yep. He did.
Remember that.
He certainly did.
Let's take a call before we go to break. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Here's one ritual I think you guys would probably remember. Daryl Green for the Redskins used to put Tootsie Rolls in his socks.
That's right.
Forgot about that.
And he was the fastest man in the NFL for 10 years.
Yeah.
Daryl Green was so...
I didn't know if that's where you were going, but yeah, I kind of figured I can smell what the rock is cooking.
So, yeah, that was awesome.
One super sensor that always fascinated me when I was a kid.
How does that hurt his feet?
It's I don't a great understand one. That one. That's but, such yeah. a good one, man. A great reference. Thank you for that. Daryl Green was so fast for so long that I still believe he's the fastest guy in the NFL.
He could probably still do it too. Now age, he's in his 50s yeah. now or whatever. Yeah,
whatever. Yeah, yeah. Whatever age he is. Yes, yes. So Daryl Green he is could still
probably
the
cover
fastest
somebody.
Person.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely. He'll get you 3 and out. Yeah, he'll get you 3 and out. We'll take our final time out of the week. We'll be back with more show coming up here on Playmakers. We speak sport.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-50s for Saturday. Increasing clouds Sunday, showers developing, high temperatures in the mid-50s. Showers continue Sunday night and linger on into Monday morning. Right now it's 58.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. I apologize. O'Neill Cruz just hit a home run. The update threw me for a second.
Oh, whoa.
On my phone.
Just kind of flashed by there for you.
I happen to have my phone nearby. I don't usually do this, but I wanted to bring up a stat and I had it on my phone, and then O'Neill Cruz throws me.
Hey, that's not a bad. He's on your team, so you know that's a good thing.
Speaking of stats, Seth, you were talking about one more superstition that we wanted to get in. It plays perfectly with our callers last
night. Yeah, it was, because it involves candy and a football player. Mitch Berger was a longtime punter for the Vikings, and he was a very good punter, by the way, and he had an extra pair of shoes on the sideline where he would keep a Snickers bar in his other pair of shoes. After he punted the ball, he'd come over, pull out the candy bar, take a bite, then put it back, and every time he punted, he would do the same. He'd always come back, just one bite, that's it, and then he'd put it back in his shoe.
It's amazing.
Not the shoes he was wearing, otherwise that wouldn't work. But right. You know what I'm saying? It's hilarious, so I love it.
Where that happens and it like something so great afterwards happens that you have to keep doing it. I wholeheartedly admit my brain is way too logical. It doesn't have enough faith or hope and all those things. But then I hear stuff like this, and I'm kind of like, you know, I'm all right.
Man,
I'm all right.
I might have mentioned this before. So the great George Stallings, he was a manager back in the 19-teens. He managed the Miracle Braves of 1914. Well, he was uber superstitious. One day, he was bending over to pick up something on the dugout floor, and his team started going on a rally. He couldn't move. He refused to move.
Oh, wow.
They scored 8 runs.
Oh, my gosh.
They had to remove him because his back spasms were getting so bad.
Oh, man.
He had to leave the game.
I've never heard that
one. Oh, my God.
I know one of the people I really enjoy listening talk about sports, mm-hmm. Katie Nolan. She's very good at what she does.
Yeah.
And, she's got a couple of great podcasts, I think, out
there. Yeah, she's got that new one, that newer one. Yes, it's very cool.
I heard her. She's a big Boston Red Sox fan. And I believe, if I got it right, when the first of the World Series titles for the Boston Red Sox, mm-hmm. of this run of theirs, they were behind. She went into the bathroom, and she was so nervous and so freaking out that she sat. She was in the bathroom. It's a small bathroom, and she's sitting in the sink. And they go on a run.
Sink.
So the rest of the game, she stayed sitting in the sink. This is an incredibly intelligent human being.
Fans are crazy, man. Fans do the craziest things, I'm telling you.
I love people. I just like people.
It's great. Good stuff.
Looking at your starting pitchers for today for our local teams, taking a look here. I had it set up. I apologize. So the White Sox, nobody cares.
Do the Brewers have any starters anymore? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great question. The one of the few that they got, Freddy Peralta, taking the mound tonight.
Well, we know Freddy. Well, he's gone from like fastball Freddy to like everyday Freddy because he's like the only one that makes every start.
What a turnaround for him with his career.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think a lot of people would have thought of him as an ace at times, but I sure have.
He has turned into the ace of that staff. It is true.
Well, and especially in today's day and age where, hey, can he give you six? That's an ace almost.
Yes. I mean, basically, if you can consistently do that. Yeah.
And he gives you strikeouts. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Those are the most valued things right now are strikeouts. So.
Interesting to see former Brewer Colin Ray is starting for the Cubs tonight against the Diamondbacks.
All right. Very good.
No, the Twins aren't playing tonight.
Yeah, they are. See it right there. They're playing the Angels. They're playing Atlanta. I'm sorry. They're playing Atlanta. Yes.
Chris Paddock taking the mound today for the Twins.
Yeah, he's a rough start. Start of the season, but then speaking of Twins and injuries, no, we're not going to get into that anyway.
Yeah. I did think another interesting one I came across was the promotions, and MLB.com does a great job with some of their sports writing. Mm-hmm, it's such a long season, I can't imagine trying to fill content and stuff sometimes for them,
right?
But they did a nice job of focusing on every team's most interesting item that they're giving away at the ballpark.
Okay,
this year.
Very cool.
And there's some great ones. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a Cal Ripken Jr. Iron Man bobblehead for Marvel Day at Camden Yards.
Oh, wow. Oh, perfect.
How perfect.
That is a perfect tie-in, man. Yeah. Good job, Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, that's just fantastic. I don't know about this one creatively or what they're doing here, but Houston is giving away Jose Altuve socks. Altuve famously took off his cleats and socks to show the umpire he really had fouled off the ball and all that.
Off his foot, yes.
I think it's a play on that. I'm not 100%.
You are correct. I believe you are right. But I love that. That was great.
I think I do want to just take a note real quick to shout out our great friend and our bandmate around here, teammate Michael Comer. Michael, we're thinking of you and your family, and we appreciate you. And I think that we may have to give Michael the day off on May 23rd to head to St. Louis to be a part of the Cardinals game because they're giving away a large brim straw Cardinals hat, and I want to see that on Michael. I want to see it up. Oh, and it comes complete with an outfit. They got a matching shirt.
Oh my gosh!
That, goes along with it and everything.
So now, famously, Augie Bush II, the one that you know was the one that bought the Cardinals and owned them for many years. He wore a big hat like that to every game.
Okay.
So I wonder if it is a tie into what Augie Bush used to do. Yeah,
gotta be.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's great. And of course, you knew I was going to look at the Brewers. Mm-hmm. They have the card game cribbage is huge in Wisconsin.
Oh my god! Wow, really?
And it has quite a few fans in Brewers clubhouse. Link up with friends and family at American Family Field on May 17th for a chance to snag a cribbage board featuring the Brewers' famous sausage races.
Oh my gosh, Beth is going to want to go to that game now. She's a huge cribbage fanatic.
May 17th. You got some time here. Got a chance to plan it out. Of course, keep in mind, everybody, many of our civic media brethren have Brewer baseball on there.
They
you can
do,
find
yes.
It. Yep. You can find it on the civic media app. The Yankees have a Jazz Chisholm Jr. basketball jersey they're giving away.
Yeah, with the because of the shot he takes when he hits a home run. Yep, that's
cool.
That's
kind of cool.
I like that one.
Royals, George Brett and Brett Saberhagen 1985 championship bobbleheads.
I want a
Brett Saberhagen bobblehead.
Oh, me too.
I don't know why I was such a big Brett Saberhagen fan.
He was a good pitcher.
I loved his delivery.
Man.
His delivery was so great. Are there any sidearm pitchers anymore? Are there really?
There's a couple.
One of the
brothers in San Francisco, I can't remember which one, either Taylor or Tyler Rogers. He does the underhand. He does the submarine pitch, which is awesome. I love it.
That's a good one. White Sox are giving away bobbleheads. Creator.
Oh, Jerry Reinsdorf.
Way to break the bank there, Jerry. Nice work. Thanks.
Just bobbleheads. That's all I'm giving away.
Just, I mean.
Man, I hope the Twins is something to do with Prince. They have a Prince night every year now, and I hope it involves that one.
That's what I'm looking for.
That would be very cool.
So yeah, the Brewers with the cribbage board. The Cardinals have the large brim hat.
Yep.
Cubs have a Greg Maddux 1988 rain delay bobblehead. that was when the famous tarp slide and all that.
Yes.
That's well done.
Now, well done.
That's an interesting one.
That may make up for the fact that you didn't sign him. I'm crazy. Right.
Nothing will ever make up for that. The closest that came was the World Series. The World Series, and even that, I'm not sure that there's a percentage of Cubs fans that it still isn't enough.
The Cubs might have ended that drought earlier had they kept Greg Maddux. I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
Just saying.
100%. I haven't found the Twins. I don't know why.
Maybe they're not doing any interesting ones this year. Oh, that's okay.
They did every team. That would be shocking if they didn't do the Twins. Twins, Buck Truck Bobblehead.
What?
To celebrate Byron Buxton's Buck Truck Day with a bobblehead that will go to the first 10,000 fans.
That's another home run thing. When he hits a home run, he does the honk thing with his right arm. Yeah.
And for those that don't know, and this is part of the reason I wanted to even talk about all of this, Buxton honors his truck driving father by mimicking the motion of honking the semi truck.
I didn't know why. That's why he did it.
Man, mark it on the calendar.
I learned two things today, man.
Yeah, and Seth might learn something.
Oh, my God. That's what's amazing. Going on? My world is. It's in turmoil, Dogster.
You know, it's this. You take being a father so seriously and being a good husband and all this. I mean, you got to get your priorities down. I'm kidding.
That makes it even cooler, though. I just love that idea that he does that.
I didn't know. I honestly didn't know either until this article. I found out last night when I was reading this, or earlier when I was reading this.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. And I encourage you to, you know, get to the ballpark if you can. And again, remember that we've got Brewer Baseball on some of our civic media stations. Be sure to check it out there.
And we're after baseball here.
Rafter Baseball right around the corner. Ooh. Everybody, Seth saw exactly where I was leading us.
I did.
Get to northwoodsleague.com. Get your single game or package tickets.
Yep.
Plan out your events because talking about great special nights, nobody doesn't like the Rafters.
They got so many good ones this year. It's going to be great.
It is going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of jerseys I want. They're going to have a WWE night. Mm-hmm. And, of course, thanks to them and Ho-Chunk Gaming, we got Military Monday still.
Again, once more, yes.
And the season is getting closer and closer by the minute, everybody, because every hit, every pitch, every win of Rafter Baseball going to be right here on WFHR.
Yes.
Great show. Thanks for hanging out, Seth.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Have a great weekend. Happy Easter, everyone.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Senator Chris Van Hollen is back from El Salvador, where he met with a Maryland man mistakenly deported.
Bring Kilmer home so he can be afforded his rights under the Constitution.
He said Abrego Garcia has been moved to another prison in El Salvador. President Trump indicated today his patience with the talks on ending the war in Ukraine has its limits.
We want to see it end. Think of it. Every day, a lot of people are being killed. As we talk about, you know, as they play games.
The White House may form a task force to deal with problems if there's no breakthrough with Beijing on tariffs. The president has said China has reached out to negotiate, and he sounded optimistic today.
And by the way, we have nice conversations going with China just to intercede, you know. It's like really very good.
A federal judge has blocked the administration from passport changes affecting transgender Americans. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.